There's a great deal said today about equality and inequality among men in general. More and more today about equality. Thomas Jefferson said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." Abraham Lincoln, in the Gettysburg Address, phrased it this way: 40 years ago, our fathers built this country, a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Today we hear many women making the statement that they want to be equal with men. Equal work, equal pay. And I'll hasten to say, there's a great deal of truth in that in regard to equal work, equal pay. Don't have a problem with that at all. As far as women being equal with men, in many respects they are. We're going to discuss some of these in our study for today. So, some of this may be well and good. Some may not be so good. Democracy says all men are created equal. But the fact of the matter is, everybody's not equal in the same way. James Freud, an English historian, said, "Men are made by nature unequal. It is vain, therefore, to treat them as if they were equal." Here's two conflicting ideas, two conflicting schools of thought. How do we harmonize those two ideas? Democracy says we're all created equal. Freud said men are by nature unequal. So I want you to consider with me in our study this morning the equalities and inequalities of man. In Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many as one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." In that passage, Paul enumerates a number of different qualities, or maybe we could say abilities. Various individuals have differing abilities. And so we can see in the physical realm the inequalities of man. We understand that race or nationality presents differences. There are differences that exist because of race or nationality. I'm not suggesting that one race is inferior to another, certainly not. But it is very obvious to the naked eye that there are differences as a result of race, as a result of nationality. If you see an Oriental, you'll notice there's a difference in the eyes. That same thing is true with many different physical characteristics. And so there are differences. There's difference in physical appearance. Randy's got a whole lot more hair than I do. A lot of you do. Brother David doesn't. Jason. And some of us, you know, some people said, "The Lord made a few perfect heads, the rest of them you put hair on." We understand that there are physical differences, differences in appearance. Even the Bible recognizes differences from a physical standpoint. Scripture says Sarah was fair to look at. Talks about Rachel being beautiful. Leah was tender-eyed. Don't know exactly what's involved in the idea of being tender-eyed, but for now what we're suggesting to you, that there was a difference in the physical appearance. of Rachel and Leah. It talks about Saul being a choice young man. And Absalom was praised for his beauty. All the rest of scriptures, you see differences from a physical standpoint. It was said of Jesus that there was nothing about him that would distinguish him from any other ordinary Jewish man. We also understand there are differences in physical abilities. The Bible recognizes that. Matthew 25, verse 15, in regard to the parable of talents, he said, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now listen to the rest of this. To every man according to his several ability. Pray away to your journey. The sums of money, talent, were given to each one according to ability. What that says to us is that some of them had the ability to deal with 5 talents, whatever that sum of money might have been, but another only had the ability to deal with 2, a little less than half what the other. And one only had the ability to deal with 1. We understand from the reading that he didn't use the ability that he had to deal with the 1. As a result, it was taken from him. But the point of the passage is, for our consideration here in this context, is that there were differences in ability. When you read about Moses and Aaron, I just finished a few days ago reading about God calling Moses from the burning bush. And Moses begins to make excuses why he can't go do what God wants him to do. One of the excuses that he makes is, I'm not a good speaker. And I've heard that excuse given by young men, encouraging them to maybe make a talk in a men's Bible class or to do an invitation. Well, you remember what God asked Moses. Who has made man's mouth? The point, I think, is being made there that God's telling Moses that you can do whatever God requires of you to do. If God requires you to do it, you have the ability to do it. Maybe not as well as somebody else. In fact, God gave Moses his brother Aaron as a spokesman. He'll be your spokesman. I'll speak to you, then you tell Aaron what to say, and he'll tell the people. This lets us know that there are differences that the Bible realizes between individuals in regard to their abilities. There's also a difference in intelligence. There's a whole lot of people that are smarter than I am. I ain't got enough fingers and toes to count the number of people that I consider to be smarter than I am. I know that there are differences in levels of intelligence. In fact, intelligence can be increased, or wisdom at least can be increased. Luke 2 and verse 52, in regard to Jesus, it said he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We can increase our knowledge base, thereby increasing to some degree our innate intelligence. I was reading about the building of the tabernacle, and God gave to certain individuals the ability to work in precious metals and in precious stones to engrave the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on these stones. I can tell you right now, I wouldn't even know where to start to engrave the names of someone on a precious stone. And I can't work with gold and overlay things with gold. I can't hammer out a candlestick out of a piece of gold. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the intelligence to do that. There is a difference in intelligence. There's also a difference in wealth. The Bible recognizes that there are rich people and there are poor people. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. For they're rich people in the world. We know that. He said, charge them that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things with joy. In Matthew 26, and verse 9, the ointment that was used to anoint our Lord, it said, for this ointment mine have been sold for much and given to the poor. There were poor people, rich people, poor people. We got the same thing in our nation. We got a lot of poor people. I'm convinced some of them are that way because they want to be that way. Some of them are that way through no fault of their own. They're rich people who got that way through hard work, industry. There are some people who are born rich. They inherited it. But we know that there's differences in wealth. We also recognize that there are differences in authority. We have political authority in our nation. We studied a few weeks ago, Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So, Bible recognizes civil authority, political authority. There's also occupational authority. And where you work, you have a boss, a foreman over you, whatever you might refer to it. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, servants be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with our service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There are people who are servants. In one sense, we all are servants. We're servants of the Lord. We understand that there's differences in authority in families. As God was instructing Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, after the allusion there to the coming Messiah, in regard to the seed of the woman, he said in verse 16, unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now that didn't start in modern society. It started at the very beginning of time. God ordained that the husband have authority of some sort over the wife. Now Paul very explicitly deals with that in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 23 he said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. He deals in detail with the manner in which the husband is to treat his wife. And so that authority that was given by God is not something that would make him a dictator, an absolute authoritarian, but nevertheless, there is a difference in authority. And so there's no question about the fact that there are inequalities in man. In the physical realm, there's also inequalities in the spiritual realm. You want to think about accumulated knowledge. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now among other things that that passage teaches us is the fact that there is a difference in accumulated knowledge. We know that a baby when it's born, it can't even walk, talk, can't feed itself. But as it grows and develops, it acquires the ability and the knowledge to do that. I was amazed that Tiffin, family, particularly Tiffin, came out of Bible class and she was telling Richard some of the things she learned in Bible class. Talked about the Ten Commandments. And those little ears are very sensitive and they learn very easily. They're acquiring knowledge. As Peter deals with those who are supposedly grown, adult. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, he said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. We're going to begin a series of lessons tonight dealing with what we come to refer to as the seven Christian graces. Faith is the foundation, is the beginning point. Add to your faith these various qualities. Among those is knowledge. And so, desiring the milk of the word helps one to grow. We add to our faith these various qualities that helps us to grow and to develop as a child of God. And so there's the accumulated knowledge. Then there is acquired ability. Different levels of ability we noted there in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, as we have many members in one body. And all members have not the same office or the same function or same work. I had a cousin who could walk on his hands pretty good. He could flip up and he could walk the length of the gymnasium on his hands. But we don't normally walk on our hands. My hands don't perform that function. And I dare say there's not many in here that could do that. We understand that there's differences in this particular ability that we have. With these different abilities, there's also a difference in responsibility. You continue reading there. So we being many are one body in Christ, every one member's one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or minister, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. In this particular context are different abilities. And as Paul deals with this in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about the responsibilities that are ours. Ephesians 4 verse 12, these things are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Thus speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. We grow up into him. Then he continues, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Compacted by that which every joint supplies. If you ball up your fist like that, there's a number of joints there that work together. That fist is compacted by that which every joint supplies. The church is compared to such as that. Every part of the body has its place. It has its work. It makes the increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. He talks about the effectual working in the measure of every part. No, we're not all just alike. Every one of us are different in some way. But we're all working together for a common goal. Just like my fingers are working together for a common goal. They come together and they make that fist. They're all working together. If they didn't, I couldn't make a fist. Different responsibilities as a result of acquired ability. We talked about this matter of authority in regard to the physical realm. There's also differences in authority in the spiritual realm. We all understand we are subject to Christ as our King. He is our head. We just read there in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4. He is our head. We are responsible to him. He has all authority. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. There's no authority that he doesn't have. We also understand that in regard to the Lord's church, there are men who are designated as elders or overseers or bishops. The presbytery, these are all terms that describe men who ordained to a particular work. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, the writer says, obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Obey them to have the rule over you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The implication is that there are elders who labor in the proclamation of the word, such as a preacher would do, as well as in overseeing the work of the Lord's church, being shepherd. I know several men who served a dual role. But these men have rules. Now, there's a lot to be said about the kind of rule that they have. But for our point here in this study is that there is differences in authority. If we had overseers in this congregation, they would have a certain rule over us. We would be in submission to them. Just as children are in submission to their parents, we are in submission to God. Differences in authority. It's not hard to see that there are inequalities in mankind. But now I want you to think about the equalities of man. Talk about the physical realm. We are all born by physical birth. Only two people that were not born of physical birth, Adam and Eve. The first two human beings God created. Every other human being came to this world through the process of a physical birth. Genesis chapter 3, there verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And so, everyone is born of a woman. We all are of one blood. Acts 17 and verse 26, there the text says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and that determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We understand that principle. If a Chinese person or a Japanese person or whatever they may be, nationality they may be, if they have the right blood type, I can take their blood. Doesn't matter what race they are. God has made of one blood all nations, all us, all our offspring of Noah, who was a descendant of Seth. So we're all one blood. Now there are different kinds of blood. Scripture talks about there. There's human blood. There's animal blood. There's blood of fowls. There's blood of fish. We can't take any of those kinds of blood. But we are all one blood as human beings. There's another commonality that we have, and that's death. We're all going to die. We know that Elijah did die. God took him. Or rather, yeah, Elijah. I started to say Elijah, but Elijah came next. He saw Elijah go up in heaven. But we're all going to die. It's appointed that the man wants to die. At this judgment, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. In Romans chapter 5, that verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In the very beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They ate, they died. So in the physical realm, there are some commonalities that we have. Birth, one blood, death. There are also some in the spiritual realm. Every one of us has a soul. Genesis 2 verse 7. The Lord God formed man with dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As a result of God's work in creation, all men have a soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Every human being has a spirit or a soul. The word soul and spirit, many times are used interchangeably. I know that there are times when they're used in a different way. But that which God gave man that animates this physical body, every human being has that. And we all are under sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Remember, wherefore is by one man sin the world and death by sin? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, all sin comes short of the glory of God. We all do sin. That's one thing that we all have in common. Another thing we all have in common is a redeemer. Galatians chapter 3, there, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed every one that hangeth on a tree. We all have a redeemer, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your father, but not redeemed with physical things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We all have a common redeemer. We all understand that there is one gospel. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, or rather verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let it be accursed. Now, yes, I know and you know that there are many perversions of the gospel being taught in our society today. There's only one true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said there are some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. So yes, they do. But there's only one true gospel that is available to every individual. And there's also a common invitation to come to Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I will give you rest. There's a common salvation to everyone. Jesus invites all to come. There is one church available to all men. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when Peter had confessed his faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus said, I say also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. My church is singular. Just one. Just like there's one gospel, there's one church available for everyone. In the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against you or shall not prevent it. The Hadean realm into which our Lord went did not keep him from establishing his church, his body, the family of God. Just one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit. He is your calling, one hope of your calling. Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We're all going to face the judgment. There is not a person who will not face the judgment bar of God. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. This is an appointment that every individual is going to keep. Going to stand before God in judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Every one of us is going to stand before God. Acts 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day into which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. In Romans 14 and verse 12, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You just cannot get around it. We're all going to face the judgment. Obviously, we haven't talked about all of the inequalities and all the equalities of man. What I'm simply trying to illustrate to you is that there are inequalities in the physical realm. There are inequalities in the spiritual realm. Some inequalities in the spiritual realm are the result of a lack of dedication on the part of the individual. Those can be corrected by a person that's dedicated that wants to correct them. There are equalities of man in the physical realm, and there are equalities in the spiritual realm. So we think about the inequalities and the equalities of man. It's not hard to see that in many things we are not equal. I'm not the president of the United States. None of you are either. We have a president. I don't know that I want to be. The fact is, there are inequalities. But in the spiritual realm, we stand before God with equal rights. It's available to everyone. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter concludes there when he's gone down to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile. He's shown by God that Gentiles need to hear the gospel. And so he opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God is no respecter of person. The story is told about three people who came forward on the Lord's Day to be received in the membership of a church in Washington, D.C. One had come to Washington to be Secretary of State in the United States. One was a poor working woman, and the other was a black man. The preacher of the church said to the congregation, you will note that the ground is level at the cross. The ground is level at the cross. Every person, regardless of who they are, where they are, or what they are amenable to the law of Jesus Christ. Whatever your state in life may be, you have as much right as anyone to take advantage of the salvation offered through Christ. To come to him, to obey him, to become one in him, to be above no one, to be beneath no one. in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, we recognize that there are differences in function and work in the kingdom of God. Different responsibilities. But that doesn't mean that one is more important than the other. There are no unimportant members in the body of Christ. We're all one. As the Father and the Son are one. We're one in Him. So we can be equal in Jesus Christ. Because we can have the salvation that He offers. But we are not capable of providing our own salvation. Jesus did that. Now, I know there's a sense in the scripture talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That simply indicates that there's something that I have to do, that you have to do. The Lord requires something of you, but He doesn't require of you anything that you're unable to do. You have the ability to do what the Lord requires of you. To hear the Word of God, to believe it, to turn from your sins, confess your faith publicly in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be immersed in water for the remission of your sin, then the Lord will add you to His church. You'll be a part of that body, just like all other individuals who are a part of that body. And you can work and worship according to the level of your ability, and then acquire more ability as you work and study and grow. But you'll not be more important than any other person in the body of Christ. That's equality with God. If you're in this audience and you have obeyed the gospel, you've been baptized for the remission of your sin, but you realize you haven't been living as you should, and been living, working as the Lord would have you to live as part of His body. You can return to Him today by repenting of your sins, confessing them, and asking Him to forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, but invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.